And good day and good night for all of you that are here. We are back here with the Cardboard Cave podcast. Sadly, last week we didn't have an episode because we did record it, but due to some technical issues, I guess, even though we tested the equipment and everything, the audio didn't come out in the whole recording. So that's why last week we didn't have no content for you guys. But for the previous following weeks, if by any chance we do not go live on Wednesday, we already have pre-recorded content, Commander games that we will be posting as premieres, like that you guys can go ahead and enjoy a Commander game that we had at Capitan Granuja Comics and Games. And remember, you guys can follow us in all of our social media. Just hit the link on the top. Like that, you guys can go ahead and join our little community in the future. I hope that this week, by Friday, we will have a Discord, like that you guys can join us, talk to us, talk some magic, and as well play some Commander. We do have some things in the mix. We're still working on them, like that we can give you guys a great experience in Discord and in future content. Plus, as well, guys, remember, if you guys want your Magic the Gathering merchandise, you can pass by Enphase Facebook page and you can make your order for any of these two designs. We do have a third one. I don't have it as displayed right now, but these are the two designs that we have. So just go ahead, pass by Enphase Facebook page and make your custom order today. So here we go. We're going to go ahead and present the whole cast of our Planeswalkers today. Orengo is not with us. He is, if I'm not mistaken, they're still live or they're about to end. They're at the after school club at XVN Richport. So pass by, let you guys can go ahead and say hi. But here we go with the Master of Dark Arts. We have JP. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's up? Sorry,
hey, what's up?
You know.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. What about Chris? Chris is here?
Oh, Chris is right here. The master of being early and late, but you know, he was here. He was here first.
Hi guys. How's it going?
It's going good. So guys, sadly, I know that even though this week there weren't that many things to talk about, except that we have three charms that have been spoiled or leaked. All four.
I haven't seen the fourth one actually.
It's Obscura, the Maestros, the Cabaretti, and I'm pretty sure those four.
They posted the
colors.
They posted the last one. I thought that they were doing it a daily thing.
Yeah. They didn't throw one today.
Let me see. Yeah, they did. Cabaretti was today.
It was Cabaretti today?
Yeah. Let me go ahead and check. Magic. I know that we're still missing one. We're missing the one that the last family.
No, we're missing two.
Oh, we're missing two then. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the last one was Cabaretti, and then we did post it in our Facebook page tomorrow.
Families, no?
Yeah, there are five, but they only presented it three for now.
Oh, I thought you said there was like four, JP,
no? No, yeah, no, I got confused.
There's three. Okay. So three. For now, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, at 7:30 in the morning, Pacific time, there will be an article available for magic.gg, and then there will be the weekly MTG live stream with Blake Rasmussen and William Jensen at 2:30. And then there will be a Discord office hours. So it's a community Q&A with William Jensen. That will be tomorrow, guys. So you guys can go ahead and be up to date with Magic the Gathering. So let's go ahead and go with the quick bits because I do have everything here already ready to go. So before we go with the spoilers, let's go ahead and talk about the following cards that our friend Orengo sent us. Those are Judge promos that he sent us. Oop. Okay, there we go. So here we go. We got one of the first promos is going to be Strange Stranglehold, It's a 1 red and a 3 enchantment. Your opponents can't search libraries. If an opponent would begin an extra turn, that player skips that turn instead. Thus, there is like a lore text that says control the halo and you control the whole city, Fetmir. Then the next one, let me see if I got it right. Oh yeah, there you go. So the next one is a card that has not been reprinted for a while. I can hear myself twice. Oh my god. Parallel Lives is 1 green and 3 enchantment. If an effect would create 1 or more tokens under your control, it creates twice that many of those tokens instead. Then there's a subtext as well that says neither Orza nor Mishra would admit it, but it was their similarities rather than their differences that drove their obsessive rivalry. So these are Judge promos. What do you guys think about the promos? Wait, you guys are muted.
There we go.
There you go.
Okay. So I'm surprised Parallel Lives got reprinted, but it's nice because it's very on theme. And also, I'm not surprised of Stranglehold. Stranglehold's fine. It's just, I remember talking about this with a friend. Is like, why haven't they haven't printed a creature version of Stranglehold, like in red? Mm-hmm. That seems like appropriate, considering a lot of you could call it Magus of the Stranglehold.
Oh yeah, but the thing is that they did reprint the card. They reprinted Parallel Lives, but it's a Judge promo, so this is not a card that everybody can have access to.
It does lower the price just a teensy bit, maybe.
Yeah, probably a little bit, but not a much, because it's going to be a foil version. Because Judge promos are all foil and different art. Normally they contract different artists to make the Judge promos like unique. So Chris, what do you think about these two cards?
Well, I honestly get more, like, every time I see the Parallel Lives card, I just get more immersed in like the art and the lore and like what it's like the scene, right? Like Parallel Lives and drawing the parallels in between the life of Urza and Mishra. Like they both have like the power stones in their hand. Like that's like the first thing I think about when I see this card. Now, in terms of like quality of the reprint, I guess it's cool. I really like it. I've been trying to get my hands on Parallel Lives for a while because it's just kind of like a really fun card to use, and I think it's kind of efficient for what it's doing. So
yeah, so it's an argument we've had several times. Doubling Season is showing its age, and recently it's going up in price because Broker's Ascendancy got revealed, and that first creature New Capenna, and they're just like Planeswalker decks are like probably being like are gonna be even more so a thing that people get excited for. I'm seeing you, John, just you know, you're super excited for that Broker's Ascendancy, aren't you?
Oh yeah, you know, you know, it's true.
But and also Minsk and Boo, the Planeswalker.
Yeah,
that also helps. So I don't know. It's I feel like Doubling Season isn't as good as it could be at 5 mana, but Parallel Lives, that 1 mana makes such a difference.
Yeah, but Parallel Lives is more of a token base.
Yeah,
but Doubling Season is more like counter base.
Doubling Season does token counters and counters, and Primal Vigor does the same thing as well.
Doubling Season literally does it all, but the problem with Doubling Season is just how slow it is when compared to Parallel Lives.
Especially
if you're thinking about Commander. The way that those first 3 turns work when you're able to set up with a card like that, man, like you should be able to have that down like turn 3, like on an okay game, you know what I mean, or like on a good game.
Well, if it's turn 3, an okay game is that turn one Soul Ring and you still get your land drop in the next turns.
That's an okay game for you? God damn. An okay game for me is just like I have my lands and I can play stuff. I have stuff I can play.
No. I mean, if you're somebody that wants doubling season out early, that maybe if there is a blue player in exceptional angle because he has counters for anything. So if you want to be that safe haven where you cast your card and it does not get countered or probably destroyed. Because somebody else probably might have played like turn three or turn two Rhystic Study and they're like, oh, I'm going to destroy that instead. You know, it all depends on the table.
I feel like a good start would be like being able to excel. It's like if you have card draw, ramp, and other stuff to play in addition to your lands.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, and right now there's a lot of planeswalkers that give you mana to be able to cast your thing. You know.
But yeah.
So let's go ahead. We're going to be presenting to all of you the spoiler cards that have been for Commander Legends plus the ones for the Streets of New Capena.
Capena.
So we did spoke about this on the previous on the episode that we recorded that didn't record at the same time. So sad. So we do have the lands. The commander lands are back. We got Sea of Clouds, Morphic Pool, Luxury Suite, Bountiful Promenade, and Spire Garden. I'm really excited that they're back because now we can get these cards once again cheaper.
Remember that these were the ones that are approaching $30, if I'm not mistaken. Orengo mentioned that last time, and the previous ones were from the Commander Legends are still around $6. So you should get those if you haven't, and get these when they come out.
Yes.
Or just, you know, be like me and just get them whenever you need them. I don't think you should do that. Don't follow my advice for that one, but
I remember that I was going to get the Sea of Clouds one, but again, it was a very expensive card. So I was like, you know what? Nimbus Maze is a little bit, it's like a $1 card. So I just get Nimbus Maze instead.
I'm lucky I pulled one in like Battle Bond whenever. I remember playing Battle Bond with Orengo.
I remember I did. Did I get to buy a? No, I didn't get to buy a box. I did get to buy a lot of booster packs though. So. Give me 1 second. Okay, so I think Chris is out. I think it's because he's in his phone, so it's fine. He's back.
He was picking. Yeah, so
he's back.
Probably making sure his connection is properly secured. So Reflecting Pool is also being reprinted. Another card that was approaching $30 to $40. A Reflecting Pool is a land that says you can tap it to add one mana of any type that a land you control could produce. In a way, it's reverse Exotic Orchard, which Exotic Orchard can produce one mana your opponents can make. This was approaching $30. I'm pretty sure on Sunday, when we went to ISD for the store, there's someone that bought it for like $27. So it is going down in price.
Oh yeah, like
so that's a good sign.
One of the things that we mentioned on that time that we recorded is that when this set comes out, you should hold on to the lands. If you're somebody that's just going to buy boxes like for yourself, hold on onto lands, and especially reflecting pool,
or just straight up buying the singles too. That's something that'll most likely go up in price like after some time too, if they don't get like reprinted like I don't know, like a year or something from now.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, sometimes we have to wait until we know what's going to be the buy a box promo, what other cards are going to be printed in this set, because probably this set will be promising. You know, at least I'm excited because the roll a D20 mechanic is back, even though we did mention that it would have been better, at least for me. At least for me, I would have really loved more that Dungeons and Dragons War of Baldur's Gate would be like a next set to Forgotten Realms than letting it be a Commander Legends product. I would have preferred Commander Legends to be Commander Legends.
Yeah, that was a
You're really muted, JP.
Conversation that we had.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that when we talked about this, Orengo was the one that was like the most against about the idea that they were gonna print a lot of gimmicky roll of D20, roll of D6, you know, type cards. And our first card does, like the first card we're gonna talk about, it does do that. So yeah. I kind of want to mention like Orengo's thoughts on this. I feel like it's an okay thing, but it does feel like it could occupy slots that could go to just stronger, flat out stronger commander cards and flat out stronger just card reprints in general.
Yeah, so we're talking about Wand of Wonder is 1 red and 3 artifact. You pay 4 and tap, you roll a d20, each opponent exiles cards from top of their library until they exile an instant or sorcery card, then shuffle the rest into their library. You may cast up to X instant and sorcery spells from among those cards exiled this way without paying their mana cost. So depending on your roll is the number of cards that you can cast. So from 1 through 9 is 1, from 10 to 19 is 2, and 20 is X is 3. So depending on what you roll, it's what you get. So
we compare this to Chaos Wand. Chaos Wand is an artifact that goes down for 3, if I'm not mistaken, and activates for 4. But only you only choose one opponent. You get the with this one, you get the option. You get more options and the opportunity cost to play more stuff. In this case, you just, you know, you have to play red, but red is the type of effect you probably want this on anyways.
Yeah, that is completely correct. You can there's a lot of cards right now. At least in Ikoria, we got the Gnar set that gives you mana to play instants and sorceries. So there's a lot of ways that you can, you know, I don't know, you not abuse the card, but at least use it for good sense, I guess. You know, it all depends on the deck that you're going against with.
I feel like the wand, like, has that tiny RNG element that just makes it really tempting to play and really, really fun. But if you're looking for high level of commander play, there's better stuff. You can have it because you want it to like be like a thing, you know what I mean?
I don't think I'd be playing Wand of Wonder high power commander, but I would play Wand of Wonder over a Chaos Wand anytime.
Yeah, exactly. So what we discovered is that, Chris, your mic is getting our voices. That's why we can hear each other again.
Yeah.
So we got Lightning Bolt reprint. It's not for standard, but I don't know.
It's never coming for standard.
I know it's not.
Lose hope on that dream, on that one dream of yours.
We did get one. Remember, Wizard's Lightning was...
It's not the same.
It's almost
close.
The same.
It's close, but it's you have to jump through hoops.
So, okay.
Fireball, it's a classic reprint. It makes sense because Fireball is a very powerful spell in Dungeons & Dragons. and it just it's a good on flavor theme card for a reprint. It is not an expensive card, and it does good in draft if you're gonna play this. So.
Mm-hmm. Then we got the black creature horror Elder Brain. That's 2 black and 5 creature horror with menace. Whenever Elder Brain attacks a player, exile all cards from that player's hand. Then they draw that many cards. You may play lands and cast spells from among the exiled cards for as long as they remain exiled. If you cast a spell this way, you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast it.
This is a broken card. It's balanced for the 7 mana, but if you just have a way to cheat this in and start attacking, it's disgusting.
There is ways to cheat it in. You can use...
There's several. You just discard it and reanimate it.
Exactly. You can discard it, reanimate it. You can use Quicksilver Amulet or... No, you can't use the Thran because Thran is legendary. Legendary stuff. But you can use Quicksilver Amulet and put it into play for free. If you're running a green black commander, you can actually cheat it in with different ways. Or you can use what's this called? That you can, like, there are cards that you can sacrifice a thing or discard a thing to look for the other thing. So there's ways that you can get this card and abuse it for a while. So Chris, do you like this card? I don't know if he's there.
I'm trying to get like work with my sound, and I wasn't paying attention. Which card was it?
Elder Brain.
I honestly like it because it feels really flavorful to just play your opponent's stuff. I think it's pretty strong at 7 mana, like in mono black like that. I don't know, like mono colored, like big stuff like that that has big, like a really really powerful effects like that just speaks to me because I'm Timmy.
Not Timmy. I was playing Commander. once Stax piece was out of the table, I could go Dark Ritual into Cabal Ritual into into the Abyss. And Peer into the Abyss is 4 black, so 7 mana. And I still had mana available. At least in mono black, this is very much viable to actually play.
That's true.
So,
JP, go for the next one.
The Ancient Brass Dragon. It's a 5 black, so 7 mana. Creature Elder Dragon, 7/6 flyer. Whenever Ancient Brass Dragon deals combat damage to a player, roll a d20. When you do, put any number of target creature cards with total mana value X or less from graveyards onto the battlefield under your control, where X is the result. This is very strong in very specific decks. It's a bit slow because it doesn't have haste and it enters and you want to kill this immediately. If you don't, you're going to have a bad time. Otherwise, this is just Rise from the Dark Realms on a creature. You're consistently going to at least roll 5 or 5 plus. This is really stupid. And deservedly so a mythic. I'm pretty sure Chris would want to talk about the flavor fail. So Ancient Brass Dragons, or at least Brass Dragons, generally speaking, are the ones that love talking and they love conversation. So there was like a meme about the card that was like, oh, the Ancient Brass Dragon talks you to death and then brings you back just by, you know, to keep on talking. I guess that's like the thing, but it was like it would have made sense if it were like the Ancient Brass Dragon were more like blue, like keep up, you know, talk and knowledge and conversation. That would make sense.
But, it's interesting. One of the things that we mentioned last time, well, not last time, but when we recorded this, the thing that we mentioned is that it's not a legendary creature. It's an Elder Dragon, but it's not legendary.
I'm pretty sure Chris also mentioned that like there's another one, but kinda because it's a technicality, because it's an like a worm, and great worms are like technically dragons. So
yeah, what? Yeah, I don't know if Chris got his he found some headsets, but well, Chris, I think he's still figuring out the audio. So yep. Let's go to the final card.
Almost got it.
Okay. So one of the cards that I do like the card due to the fact that I like Planeswalkers, but I think me and JP said that this could have been a little bit much more powerful. So it's Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes. It's Gruul and two legendary Planeswalker Minsk that says the following: when he enters the battlefield at the beginning of your upkeep, you may create Boo, a legendary 1/1 red hamster creature token with trample and haste. He has two abilities. It's a +1 and a -2. The +1 says put a 1/+1 counter on up to one target creature with trample or haste.
Put three plus one counters, right?
Yeah, three.
Yeah.
Three. And then the -2 is sacrifice a creature. When you do, Minsk and Boo, Timeless Heroes deal X damage to any target, where X is the creature's power. If the sacrificed creature was a hamster, you draw X cards, and it has the subtext that they can be your commander, plus is a 3 loyalty Planeswalker.
So
for 4 mana, you get a creature, and you can make it a 4/4. What do you think? I know that you didn't like it last time.
I'm just sad that the draw card clause is tied to the hamster.
Yes. I'm sad about that as well.
That clause is what's holding Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes back. Otherwise, it would be very strong red-green commander. Red-green doesn't have, like, you know, out of the top of my head, there's not a single, like, obviously strong commander. You could argue for Tana the Bloodsower, but that's just because she has partner and her you just use her for her colors. Example being like a very competitive deck being a Blood Pod, you use Timna the Weaver and Tana the Bloodsower. So I don't see like red green being like overly powerful. This could have been like it in terms of power level. It would make me, because it has a sacrifice ability as a cost, I would have loved to make this if that ability were like a bit better. As is, it's just a fling commander, and I've made one before.
How about you, Chris? What do you think about the card?
Being able to draw 40 cards in a turn, that's what I'm thinking about.
So you're gonna put all your counters on the hamster?
Heck yeah. I know it's jank, but it's the only way I would love to play that thing. It's a really good card, but hey, I just want to draw 40 cards, man.
Yeah, you are the master of jank, so we know that you're capable of doing this.
Am I wrong, JP? What about like teamer, and then you just like draw 40 cards?
No. Let's keep this red green. If the hamster clause wasn't there, he'd be perfect. -2, draw a bunch of cards, and deal a bunch of damage, and now you have a bunch of cards. Do whatever you want. It would be very, very powerful.
Yeah, this counts as commander damage, right?
No. Commander damage has to be combat damage. If you have Minsk and Boo Timeless Heroes as your commander, you will never be able to deal, like, I won't say never, because technically if you use Sarkin, the one that turns Planeswalkers into dragons, technically you could deal commander damage.
That's a mono red one, right?
Yeah, one of the mono red ones.
War of the Spark,
yeah.
Yeah.
Great card though, I love it.
Yes, it's a big thing.
So Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate, these are the cards that we've gotten for now. for now, this next month of April, we will start spoiler season. So you'll see countless episodes of Cardboard Cave of us talking about the spoilers for the Streets of New Capenna. So at final thoughts, guys, do you like at least the cards that have been spoiled or presented to us for the new set?
I'm content.
Definitely. I really like the aesthetic of everything, honestly. It just like eats me up every time I look at anything that has to do with Magic. Like, yes, the game, but also the art is always so pretty. And that kind of blinds me sometimes to how, like, I don't know, how I express como que, how excited the set makes me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand. So let's go ahead. So we all know that the new set for Magic the Gathering is based off families. Technically speaking, like Cons of Tarkir, Guilds of Ravnica, that everything goes through like tribes or guilds or whatnot. Now we have families, you know, all godfather like stuff. So they did been spoiling or giving us a little hint of the charms. And we did get to see this, I think it was in the first Ravnica set that we had, like, Boros Charm,
Charms
in general.
Charms has just been a thing for a long time.
So now we are getting the family's charms. And Wizards of the Coast, what they have been doing is presenting these cards as their normal normal printing. And on their showcase printing. So one of the things that I did notice is that these charms are uncommon. So probably they're probably maybe better things in the rare slot. So this first charm that was presented is blue, black, and red. It's from the family of Maestros. So it's a Maestro's charm. It's an instant. It has choose one and it has three abilities. So the first one is look at the top five cards of your library. Put one of those cards into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. The second one is each opponent loses three life. You gain three. And the last one is Maestro's charms deals five damage to target creature or planeswalker. What do you guys think about the Maestro's family charm?
There are better ways to get cards into your graveyard. The flexibility is nice, being a removal spell and a card draw spell. I am content with this, especially because if it's a Maestro's charm and it's like the family I'm interested in. One of these. So
yeah, how about you, Chris?
I'm gonna ask a question to JP. How do you think that the effects of the card represent like the house that it's representing, you know what I mean? Like how does it like represent like Maestro in your opinion, like in what you think that's coming for the set, I guess?
So the in terms of colors, blue for the first ability, black for the second, and red for the third. In terms of Maestros, for the like the flavor, Maestros are like enjoy art, they're assassins and they're vampires. So each opponent loses three life, you gain three life. Vampires, they're assassins, they kill, so they kill something, and they enjoy art, so they're picky about what they're taking. So you grab the best and ditch the rest.
Yep. And plus, guys, if you guys follow us in our social media, in our Facebook page, in the daily, we are posting certain storylines from each family. So the only thing you have to do is just click on the link that it's there and it will take you directly to the story of that family or character. So just pay attention to our social media. So our next family, it's Obscura Charm. So go ahead, JP, take it away.
Obscura, white, blue, and black. It's an instant. Obscura Charm. It's white, blue, and black. It's an instant. Choose one. Return target multicolored permanent with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield tap. Counter target instant or sorcery, and destroy target creature or planeswalker with mana value 3 or less. I am seeing Obscure Charm as a as I am, this is speculation. One of the obscure leaders, whether it be in the one in the commander product or in the main set, will be 3 mana or less, and this probably is trying to be slotted inside that deck. If I go
you think that this card might have been like designed around commander rather than like the standard set?
No, I'm saying either like this is multicolored permanent, but I'm just automatically thinking Reanimator. It's in the perfect colors for Reanimator. So I'm thinking a legendary creature. But maybe there's just an average creature that wants to be reanimated by this. It's 3 mana instant speed reanimation, and it doesn't put it does put it into the battlefield tapped. But if the effect is worth it, then like instant speed reanimation is extremely powerful.
Yeah, and it says, and it's target multicolored permanent, so.
White has always cared about either multi, like it has several cards that care about multicolored permanents. The blue, obviously, with the counter, and the black with the destroyer.
Mm-hmm. So. Exactly. I actually do love this one. When I read it yesterday, I was like, oh my god, this card in standard will be kind of stupid in regards that it's going to be really good if you're playing these colors. Again, you have a counter and a destroy and a reanimate in one card. So you can choose. I know you can choose one, but still, it's a great card.
You go like, you set up your early game by consider and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could discard whatever you need later on with if you have an obscure charm, you could later on reanimate it instant speed, but also and if not, you could also just hold a counter magic and a removal spell.
Mm-hmm.
is probably the best one up for now.
Are the like the effects all in color order?
Yes, white, yeah. Blue and black. Just like the previous one.
Right. That's really cool.
So
it's a tiny little detail. The
final family that at least we got today, because I think that they're doing this by day. So yeah. In terms, the final family will be presented on Friday. So right now, the one of the family that we got presented today is Cabaretti Charm. So go ahead. Chris, if you can, take it away.
Blood is very small, but...
Oh, okay, so if you want, Cabaretti
Charm, so it's Naya colors, so it's red, green, white. It's an instant, and it allows you to choose one. So Cabaretti Charm deals damage equal to the number of creatures you control to target a creature or planeswalker. Bothers me, it can't hit face. Creatures you control with... creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample until the end of the turn. I love it. It's giving trample in Naya is great. Create two green, like you just create two tokens, two white citizen creature tokens.
Green and white citizen tokens.
Green and white, is it? Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. It's really like a Naya card. I really like it. Like, it's not a powerful card, but I really, really like it. And giving trample, like maybe not at instant speed matters, but just giving trample is really nice. It's really fun. And I think that the card effects so far are fine for uncommon. You know what I mean? It's a really versatile uncommon.
I am kind of sad that it doesn't hit face as well.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned, I guess, from like past standard sets, because this card really, really feels reminiscent to Tarkus Charm, Command. Tarkus Command, you could choose two effects and had four abilities to choose from. Mm-hmm. And one of them was like 3 damage to face and pump your creatures. And that's like what basically there's a red green aggro deck that basically only splashed green for like 2 cards, and one of them being Tarkus Command, because it was just that good. I guess they've learned that maybe damage to face while also pumping was too good, But this one, you have to choose one. And I guess 3 mana is quite a bit. Like, but I've seen like 1 mana cards that is like, oh, 1 mana card. Whenever you attack for the rest of the turn, each opponent loses 1 life for each attacking creature. It's like a 1 mana card. So I'm not sure if like that's like on purpose that they decided to not to do that. +1/+1 is trample is great.
Yeah.
So
I still say that probably they made them uncommon because probably there is something else coming, because remember one of the cards that was presented to us first was the enchantment that it's a rare. So probably the
Ascendancy cycle.
Yeah. I think we can find it.
Do we know how many cycles we're getting in the set? Or is that in photo? Like not out
no,
yet?
No, we're not sure.
Oh, here it is.
Right,
so Broker's like Ascendancy.
Triumph cycle.
So there's we're getting the
Charm cycle.
The Broker's Ascendancy. So probably that's why they made the charms uncommon, because the ascendancies are rare. They did that in, because in cons you had the commands, and then in Dragons of Tarkir is where you got the ascendancies.
No, you got it behind. Confused. Soul Tie, Abzan were 3 color, but the dragons are 2 color.
So where was the
Tarka's command came in Dragons of Tarkir, as well as all the other commands. And in Khans of Tarkir, so Dragons of Tarkir, Khans of Tarkir, the Abzan Ascendancy, Ascendancy, those are the ones.
Yeah, those are around, you're correct. So yeah, so these are at least the cards that we have been presented. Probably tomorrow they might present more cards. We don't know yet until the weekly MTG event is going to be at 2:30. So I probably might not be able to watch it because I will be watching a classic movie tomorrow. So, but I will be keeping my eyes out for if they do spoil anything. But at least to give you a hint, these are the lands that are coming for the set, cycle lands. And then these are the full arts that apparently they are only going to be available in the collectors. Probably, I think, in the set boosters. I don't know. Basic lands. Thank you, Wizard of the Coast. So our final topic of tonight is the topic that I think it's still been the talk of the show. We already got the next episode's next week's episode's topic. I'll present it to you guys when we finish this one. So next one. It's a topic that we've been, a lot of people have been talking about. It's Magic Arena's economy stream. So they did present it, the new economy for MTG Arena. So right now, I'm just going to be presenting the what they said or presented to us, and then we can go ahead and discuss it. So change one is the Mythic Pack. So Mythic Packs do include that they will be costing 1,300 gold in the store, and they have 1.3 times the cost of a normal booster, which offers a rare or mythic or a rare or mythic wild card. So so you can get like a specific, you can get either one. So you might get a rare or mythic, or you can get a wild card instead. But this is the one that got a lot of people a little bit much more on defense. That's at Wizard also announced that they will be selling wild cards in store with a bundle that will include 12 rares, 4 mythics. And obviously, it does not mention it there, but it will include you as well 2 sleeves, 2 digital sleeves for $50. This is the one that has been the talk of the show, you know. Then obviously they want to improve the rewards for constructed events, being able to test cards decks before buying, and as well a new non-rotating format without digital only cards that apparently they are working on having Pioneer in MTG Arena, like that we can play Pioneer in the platform. Let's go ahead and talk about what actually gets everybody's tickle rolling. Thank you for MTG Goldfish for the article. So guys, what are your thoughts that you're going to be wasting $50 to get 12 rares, 4 mythics, and 2 digital sleeves? When I think Orengo is the one Orengo was the one that made a comparison. So let's go ahead and go to the popular meta decks that are being played right now in Standard.
Yeah, mono white aggro. Yeah, he used mono white aggro.
The absolute amount of rares and mythics that go arena deck is insane.
So in arena, it will take you 42 rares and 3 mythics to make the mono white aggro deck. So if we do pull out like a calculator, so the pack brings you 12 rares, right? 12 wild cards.
12 rares about wild cards, yes.
Say times 4, that's 48. So you have to waste $200. $200, and you can have 42 rare wild cards, and you will still have 6 to waste in any other deck. At least in mythics, you will have, it's 3 mythics, so 3 times us 12, so you will use only how many here? 3, so you'll have 9 mythics to spare. You're wasting $200. And then Orengo said that in Mythic, in Tabletop, you are wasting $1.96 with 82 cents. So it does not make sense.
Other things Orengo, because Orengo's not only the most informed, but the most outraged about this.
Whenever
a set comes out, you could buy a bunch of packs of the, like, there's a bundle thing you could buy.
Buying that
is better, and your chances of getting things is better than buying the wild card thing.
Yeah, like, just so that everybody
complete a set. Is getting the cards from the setup, and with that bundle is better than just buying your wild cards.
No, yeah, because
it's kind of not. It's just as bad, to be honest.
It's better. It's horrible.
But it's like, still bad. It is because
better than this one.
Exactly, because think about it. So you're pre-ordering for $50 over 40 plus booster packs, and you have to waste either way $200 to be able to do the mono white aggro deck if you don't have the wild cards or the cards in general. And then the upside is that, at least let's put it in perspective, if I have the mono white aggro deck in Paper Magic, at the end of the day, if I'm tired of playing Standard, I can sell the deck for $175 just to make a little, you know, easy fast cash if somebody wants to play mono white aggro. But in Arena, there's no upside. You waste $200 and that's it. And probably you might get into a couple of tournaments, but that does not mean that you're going to win, even though it's the most popular meta deck right now being used. So I don't see the win-win situation here. So what do you guys think? What else do you guys think about this?
I mean, it's literally just a money shortcut through the game, you know? Like, buying boosters was one thing, like, I don't know. It just, you could go crazy and just buy, like, all the boosters in a set and then just try to start pulling, like, wild cards or simply just have the whole set because that's what you're going to be using for standard anyways, right? But...
yeah.
Hold on, I heard a noise outside. Sorry about that. You could just blow all your money getting like every single thing in the set, but with the at least I don't know. I feel like the other what's it called, like the mythic, like the one, the wild card booster pack should just be much like the process just shouldn't cost as much money because it's supposed to be more precise, but they somehow managed to do exactly that.
Yeah, it's 1,300 gold. With 2k gold, you can be in a constructed event. I think it's 1k, my bad. With 1k gold, you can be in a constructed event. Or I think there's other events that cost less, but the end game of gold is much more higher than what you wasted. Again, if you do get the 7 wins.
Yeah.
So, you know... This is just a money grab for Wizard of the Coast to take people's money, you know. And I think Chris is the one that mentioned it last time. The fact that we would say that we're not going to get the product because it's a bad product, but there's other people that get the product, so it makes it impossible for us to say to Wizard of the Coast, stop, this is not for us.
Yeah. You know, as long as people are using their wallets to dictate their opinions, then this shit will keep happening.
Yeah, it will. You know, it's really sad because it's like we want Wizard of the Coast to become great again. Ew. But it's really hard when people just throw their money out whatever the way they can. You know, it is sad. Yeah. One of the things that I would like to, I think I've mentioned this a bajillions time. I think that that night that we were all just talking about Wizard of the Coast and products, like I said it, like they should bring back some of the products back to bring back some reprints that I think that they would be good for us, you know, in the end game, because prices will be in a good spot. LGS stores will get their cut of the bargain, and we're all happy. But that's not gonna happen. That's the sad part, you know. Because I've gone to Granuja already so many times, and the same secret layer lands product is still there on their shelf. There's the one for the flip lens. That either way, if they take that product for themselves to sell it apart, I think that they can do the money back, but it will be kind of hard because, again, it is what it is. So, what can we do? So, guys, I know that we already spoke about this. So let me go ahead and remove this. Like that, we can. I'm gonna show the peeps, our viewers, what we're going to be talking about next week. Especially if we do get some juicy spoilers. I hope that we do, because really, that's something that I would like to continue showing them all the great spoilers of this new set. So before, while I little search for it, do you guys have anything else to mention of the spoiled cards and the economy, or what things do you guys want back from Magic the Gathering or Wizard of the Coast?
So I'm just got a tweet at for the Magic Esports thing for the premiere play announcement for tomorrow, like the thing on Magic RTG, there's going to be an article available, a weekly MTG the live, and they're going to have a community Q&A. So tomorrow's probably going to give us a lot of juicy news.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So this is going to be.
Is that where they're gonna announce the spoiler?
No, that's like tomorrow. Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow. Tomorrow's weekly MTG. So probably they'll show us a couple of cards, and just talk what's going on in the Magic community. You know how it is.
Yeah.
So next week's topic, like that, we can get everybody pumped, and as well, if we do get some nice spoilers during the week. JP did send us, this is the Morrow Streets of New Capenna teaser. So we have the list that we always run down of the supposed cards that probably will be coming on this new set.
Yeah, these are being printed in cards. It's just we don't know which cards.
Oh yeah, exactly. So we're going to be talking about this list next week. We have a lot of great things that I've run through it, so it sounds really interesting. I'm super excited. Here's our friend,
this is Mark Rosewater.
Mark Rosewater, the guy that makes the cards reality. So next week we will be talking about the teasers for the Streets of New Capenna set. I'm super excited about this. Last time that we talked about it, I think it was for Kamigawa. Most of the cards we did kind of like, we were like super excited when they started spoiling them. And we were like, oh, that's this card. So it's really fun to have this list like that. We can go ahead and do the same spoiler tease, I guess, from us. So Chris, do you have anything else to say, or JP, before we say our goodbyes?
I'm very excited for, like, I'm just excited for like what Maestros maybe the Rivetiers, maybe the Obscura. There's a lot of the ones I'm interested in. Casually, all of them have black, so that's fine.
Yeah, I'm super excited for brokers is my thing. How about you, Chris?
I think everyone should buy those lands that are coming in that new Capenna set. Yeah. I think that if you're going to play on an online platform at this point, you should probably head over to either untap.in or MTGO if you really need a Magic fix, like virtually, or play on Spell Table with your friends. Like,
You can as well, if you did not know this, you can play with people at Moxfield. You can test out your commander in Moxfield.
Yeah, like in the browser, no?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. Yeah, actually, I like 1v1 myself, but... because like I just tested the deck, but I actually didn't know you could play with other people that way. That's really cool.
Yeah, I think if you send them like an invite,
so a web-based database, like yeah, that they use to like represent the cards and everything.
Yeah. So in Moxfield, as soon as you do your deck list and you go to your deck list, they're on the bottom. There's a set that says play test. So we'll open, it will open it, and then you can set up I still haven't tested it out to play with somebody else, but you can set it up with somebody else, but you can play test your commander in Moxfield. So I wish that I could say, oh, we are proudly sponsored, but we're not. There's a great place to, it's a great place for you to, do your commander, your deck list as well. You can choose the style of the cards. So if the card is foil or is a showcase, you can go ahead and change it. I need to sit down and to the Cardboard Cave Moxfield account and change the commander, my Shurikai one, because I did some updates. I have to give you guys the account as well. I totally forgot.
I'll just put my Osgear deck so everyone sees how beautiful it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I created it, like that we can just post our commander decks for everybody. So
I'll start Chris, posting my mono blue decks. I'll just like start with the Sousa right now.
That's nice. So Chris, where can the people find you?
Well,
wait, we got a comment before it's sure Kai is busted.
There we go. Someone had to say it, my dude.
Yeah.
You say the word Shorikai anywhere and someone just comes out of nowhere and says, yo, that's busted.
Yeah, it is. So, Chris, yeah, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitch sometimes, skulking about. I haven't done it in a while. I've played some Elden Ring recently, so I might get back into that. And you can find me here at the Cardboard Cave Podcast. JP, where can they find you, my guy?
You can find me here in the Cardboard Cave Podcast, but more importantly, Don, where can they find you?
So you can find me in all my social media as JDR117. Tomorrow around 8:30, I will be live at the Movie Guide because we're going to have the Up Up Left Right special episode, because we are going to do, I think it's every Thursday, we're going to be reviewing every episode of the new Paramount Plus Halo series. So tomorrow we will be talking about the first two episodes, so don't miss out. It's going to be at 8:30. It will be myself, Omar from the Movie Guy, and John Miranda from Issue 42, and I think we will have Meli from Geek Dimension. And as well, you can find me and Orengo at Subtitles Required. We will start recording and posting new podcasts next month. We just took a break because a lot of podcasts in so little time, guys. But either way, Subtitles Required will be back next month. I will read the comment. Jack, give me 1 second. So as well, you can find Orengo at Cinemas Podcast, and as well at XV Enrichport or 15 Enrichport. And as well, he does movies, so look for him, Google his name, Alejandro Orengo. He does films. So Jack says a comment to us: you guys should do a social command or something for Twitch so people can easily find those links. Yes. I haven't done it yet because I'm the one that does all the social media, but we do have an all link. Let me look for it, like that we can share it. Give me one quick second. Why am I in the Magic the Gathering page? Because I'm always there. That's why.
Thanks a lot there. For the recommendation, man. I feel it.
Yeah. Thanks. It was like John with it's like John is usually the one with the social media. I'm usually the one with like the news and articles. I mean,
yeah, so
you guys.
Yeah, so right now we have a couple of projects that are still in the works, but at least if you hit that link, Jack, that's our link tree. You will find everything: Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Anchor, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. We're everywhere, dude, literally. But we will be doing Chris just disappeared, but for future Jack, we will be doing a Discord. Well, we'll have all of that information as well available there, but I have to sit down and code it. So here's Chris again.
I disappeared, but I'm back. I'm here.
Yeah. So we will have a Discord. I hope by next week we'll have a Discord for our community, and plus there'll be more surprises for the future, but we're still cooking them up because we're figuring out how to do them. So we'll see how things go, because we are talking about, just to give you guys a hint, we are talking about making a commander league for all of you. So he says that you could do a Discord command too with like Nightbot or Stream Elements or something. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm going to be doing that for us. So don't worry about it. So guys, you guys have any other thing to do? To say tonight to our people?
I have a speculation.
Uh-huh.
Because brokers are like their name is like the brokers, and they're like the deals and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am predicting that Smothering Tithe will be reprinted in Bedecked Brokers, the commander deck.
If that happens, I want them all. Yeah, I want them.
Actually, now we're going back to old Capenna. What do you guys think Urbrass is gonna be like?
Someone mentioned like in a comment, so it was like one of our chats is like, oh, whenever a creature an opponent controls enters the battlefield, enters tapped, and it deals 3 damage to it deals 3 damage to like someone else. Like you guys couldn't choose. Like I don't know.
Summary type is but it's also busted.
Yes.
Was that the thing that I was like typing in the chat like in the afternoon, or was that some other person?
That was in the morning, so.
In the morning?
Yeah.
I can't remember. I hope. I mean, I just really want Urbrass to be broken, man, just because they didn't do him dirty. He's still a really cool card, but he's just so underpowered compared to the other Praetors. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
I really like him though. I want to see him redeemed.
Let's see what happens. Probably he is in one of the teaser cards or teaser list of Marrow. So let's see what happens next week. So everybody, see you guys next week. This episode will be live on audio platform, I hope, by tomorrow night or on Friday. So we will see you in the next one. And here's a little message from our local game store. Hey geeks, do you love comics, collectibles, and TCG? Well, here at Cardboard Cave, we have the place for you. Pass by Capitan Granuja Comics and Games and find all your favorite geeky items there. Look for them at Facebook or Instagram or call them at 787-659-7003. A store blessed by Nicole Bolov.